Dave and Darren with the top five things. This is a review of the top five things that happened on our Planet 93.9 morning show. Thanks for downloading it. Hope you enjoy it. My name is Dave. This fella's name is Darren.
Yes.
Hey, Darren.
Bing bong.
Bing bong to you.
Thank you.
Bing bong is the new Happy New Year.
Bing bong.
The podcast is brought to you by the good people at Nature's Treatment of Illinois. Their goal is to fully understand their clients' needs physically, mentally, and emotionally because they know it's not easy to live with a chronic illness. Their experienced wellness consultants will sit down with you and discuss what options will work best to make you feel more comfortable. Frequently asked questions are answered at the website. That's ntillinois.com.
And we begin.
Number one.
I have something of a follow-up story to something that we were talking about last year. Do you remember Stephanie Motto? Does that name ring a bell? You'll remember her story, if not her name.
It seems as though any time that we do any callback to any story,
yeah,
and then I have to remember someone's name,
yeah,
it's the astronaut that wore a diaper.
Well, no.
That
went a little crazy.
That went a little crazy and drove nonstop from one end of the country to the other.
It's not her. Although, honestly, it kind of on that level, I suppose. Stephanie Matto is the star of this reality show called 90 Day Fiancé, which we learned about last year.
Right.
Where it's essentially just mail order brides, right? And she was letting us know that she was making $50,000 a week by selling her own farts in a jar.
Are we finding out this is a scam?
No. No. It's
even more real?
This is not a Yumbo. She said that this was an adult-friendly platform, and she was what she would do is she would fart in a jar and then send it to her fans. And they were paying... I mean, she was making 50 grand a week. How much were they per jar?
I don't know how you can fart that much.
Well, you can't, as it turns out. And she had to be hospitalized for farting too much.
What?
She's announcing that she's retiring from selling her own farts after a heart attack scare.
Heart attack? How old is she?
31! She was farting to the point that it was damaging her heart. She announced that she was making more than 50 grand a week selling her farts. Gained international attention after letting us all know this. She thought it would be a hilarious publicity move that would get a lot of people's attention. She ended up making a grand total of $200,000 in sales, but she is now announcing her retirement because she passed one too many. Rushed to a hospital with chest pains. She feared she was having a heart attack. After undergoing a battery of tests, including blood work and an EKG, she was told that the pain was the result of her steady diet.
And I mean pain strongly.
That the reason she was in the hospital was because all she was eating was beans and eggs for her fart business. She says, quote, "I thought I was having a stroke and that these were my final moments."
Well, which is it? Were you having a stroke or a heart attack?
I was overdoing it, she says. The self-proclaimed fartrepreneur did 50 jars worth of farts in a week to keep up with the demand. And she was starting to add protein shakes to her diet to make the farts more pungent. Quote, "I remember within one day, I had about 3 protein shakes and a huge bowl of black bean soup. I could tell something was not right when I was lying in bed and I could feel a pressure in my stomach moving upward. It was quite hard to breathe, and every time I tried to breathe in, it felt like a pinching sensation around my heart. And that, of course, made my anxiety escalate. I actually called my friend and asked if they could come over to drive me to the hospital because I thought I was experiencing a heart attack."
Only if we can take the convertible.
Yeah.
Consider yourself zing.
The zing of the day.
I need you to lay in the back seat with your ass in the air.
If you don't mind.
You know why. She says here, it was made clear that what I was experiencing wasn't a stroke or a heart attack.
But insanity.
Very intense gas pains. That's when she... she did not tell her doctors that she was making a living farting in a jar. Which I imagine you probably should have shared that with your doctors. She says here, I was advised to change my diet and take a gas suppressant medication, which has effectively ended my business. Oh my gosh. She says, as luck would have it, once I put the jars up for sale,
Beano saved my life.
They began to sell like hotcakes. I honestly, she says, could not believe the demand.
Big, stinky hotcakes.
I think a lot of people have this fetish in secret. I began this venture by eating mostly protein muffins, shakes, and also hard-boiled eggs. She decided to branch out a little bit to try some new recipes to, her words here, keep it exciting. The menu also included black bean salad, onion, and ham and pepper omelets. She says, I think certain foods produce better smelling farts. Heavy emphasis was put on smoothies. Quote, I have a lot of people praising me, calling me a girl boss, telling me that I inspire them to be unashamed of who they are and what they do. But on the other end, I've been getting a ton of negativity. I've even received death threats, people telling me I should end my life and so on. I try my best not to react to these people and give them what they want, which is attention. In this day and age, we need to stop tearing people down for their choices. I think my family is relieved about my retirement, and honestly, so is my colon. The diet was never sustainable, and there was always an expiration date. Good Lord.
There is nothing wrong with a little shame.
She says she's going to donate a portion of her income to a charity that supports gastric disorders. And she says here, quote, even though I got backlash, I think it's opened a new door for me. I'm working on digital fart jar artwork at the moment. I think everything happens for a reason. And although my fart selling days are ending, I'm going to save the money I've made and I'll put some into crypto. Of course you are.
There you go.
Number two.
Do you ever get something in your head and you can't stop thinking about it, and then you see a story like on the news about the thing that you're thinking about, and you wonder if maybe that's a sign? Or is that just the kind of nonsense that I do?
I don't really have an example for you.
Well, I'll give you an example. For the last couple of days, ever since New Year's, I can't stop thinking about skateboarding.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as much fun as you and I had when we went roller skating a couple of years ago.
What did the doctors call it?
What I gave myself was a subdermal hematoma. That was the word that the doctor used. And she told me that I was very lucky that I wasn't in going to go to the hospital.
And it's not a skateboard, but the last time you were on, what's it called that Owen had?
That was a scooter.
A scooter?
The last time I was on a scooter, I took out my two front teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yet, you want a skateboard.
I can't stop thinking about it. When I was a kid, I spent so much time just going around the block on my skateboard. That's what I would do for fun. We didn't have, all the gadgets. And my skateboards were junk, like department store skateboards. I didn't have a cool board. I had a Nash longboard, and then I had a Veriflex. Veriflex is like the junkiest, complete joke of a skateboard. But a Veriflex twisted deck that I like to just go out there and just...
What kind of moves did you have?
I didn't do a lot of moves.
Were any moves that had names or anything?
Well, like, you know, you do ollies and whatnot.
You do what?
Ollies.
Ollies?
Yeah. Hmm. And I see how much fun the kids have. I mean, now that, like, at Davenport, there's a skate park right on the river, and I think, well, that could be fun.
Well, yeah, they're kids.
I understand. But I'm wondering if I were to get on a skateboard now.
How much damage you could do to yourself?
But I mean, obviously, it would take me a while to get back into the swing of things.
Like,
but
never?
It's something that I used to be able to do. And it's like I don't learn my lesson from roller skating because I used to be able to roller skate. And then the last time you and I tried that in Milan, I kept falling to the point where I bruised myself real good.
I had to crawl to the finish line.
Now, here's where I think I've got things figured out. When you and I went roller skating.
Well, we didn't go roller skating. Don't make it sound like we went roller skating. We didn't go roller skating. We were doing a remote.
Yeah, at the roller rink.
At a bar.
Yeah.
That had a roller rink.
Yes.
And we decided, yeah, give us some skates. Let's get out there. Let's. We didn't go roller skating.
I didn't call you up and say, hey, buddy, let's go roller skating.
Yeah.
We were there doing a remote. It's
getting
true.
Paid.
Yeah, but my point is this. I think the reason I kept falling on the skates.
It seems like that was like the second or third remote that day, too.
Yeah.
For some reason.
It had been a long day. And I think my balance was compromised by the alcohol that I had enjoyed.
Well,
so
there were drink specials.
Exactly. The only thing I enjoy more than roller skating is drinking. Actually, there's a lot of things I enjoy more than roller skating. And, you know, we've talked as a family about heading to Frozen Landing and doing some ice skating. I haven't ice skated since high school. I have to imagine that's not going to end well for me
either. How are your ankles?
I feel I have strong ankles.
Okay. Make sure you have the right skates.
You can just rent them for like a buck there, right?
I'm just saying make sure you get the right ones.
Right. So maybe I try the ice skating first, but I'm thinking about getting, I regret not holding on to my board. Even though it was a junky Veriflex board, I think it'd be cool to have. And there's a new study that suggests that Gen Xers are able to boost their moods by skateboarding. Even people that are dealing with like serious depression or battling substance abuse issues, they have found that by skateboarding, they're able to boost their moods. Now, I don't...
Let me float this idea.
Yeah.
Where does most skateboarding take place?
Out in the street, man.
Outside.
Yeah.
How about you just go outside to begin with and see if that boosts your mood?
I just have
just get outside.
But see, the memory I have of being on the board and the movement and the wind and the going back and forth, I don't know. That's what I'm longing for.
You were lower to the ground then.
I was about the same height. What do you mean lower to the ground?
You were smaller.
No, I was like 16, 17 years old when I'd go on the board and just kind of skate around. Research revealing that skateboarding allows middle-aged people like me to cope with depression and stress while also offering potential common ground for parents to bond with their kids. Do I get my kid, who's going to be 13 this month, do I get him a board and I get me a board?
Middle-aged? What, you live to be 100?
That's the plan.
What are you talking about, middle-aged?
They're saying that Gen Xers elderly. Who skateboard are having real, like, it's having a really good effect.
Because now, they're I'm outside.
Not... Well, I mean, I need a
they're
reason.
Getting some fresh air.
I need a reason to be outside. See, that's what my problem is. Just being outside doesn't do me any good.
Go for a walk.
I do that plenty. But you know what would be cooler? Going for a walk where there's wheels under my feet.
That's not walking.
I know. Skateboarding's not a crime.
Well, it's not allowed everywhere.
If I see you
up skateboarding
yeah.
at Cumberland Square.
Don't you think that'd be dope?
I will report you in a minute.
They say that the activity of skateboarding for Gen Xers can invoke a spiritual meaning.
If I'm at the DG picking up some HPs and you almost run me over, I'm calling the cops.
It can provide a new avenue of self-expression. Maybe that's what I need. A new avenue of self-expression. I got to get a new board, obviously. And maybe I think I could get a board that's better than the Veriflex I got at Sears. So it's not like I was not riding a quality board. Do they make skateboards for adults?
I got an idea for you.
A gentleman of my more ample proportions? What?
when the comedy troupe
yeah.
gets back up and running.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that that's happening, but go ahead.
But if it does,
yeah,
you can be the skateboard guy.
Like, do that as a bit?
Yeah, you're always on a skate. You've always got a skateboard.
Now, it's interesting you mention that, because now, ever since the improv stopped, that's self-expression that I'm lacking.
There you go.
So maybe I fill that.
Incorporate the
maybe
two.
I fill that. No, I can't do both. You think I'm going to perform on a skateboard the whole time?
Yes. That'll be your shtick.
It says here people are often saying that skateboarding is a lifeline and sanity for them, and it gives them a creative outlet and a chance to reconnect with the freedom of youth. That's what I'm looking for, a reconnection to the freedom of youth. I would just go up and down the block over and over and over again.
You're almost a pensioner.
I understand that, but I have a longing that I need to figure out. The nature of skateboarding, it says here, celebrates failure as part of growth because you fall down a lot.
Why don't you make a video, like a YouTube video?
Yeah.
You get at the top of Harrison Street.
No, I'm not going to kill myself. I will do this on flat ground. You're right, though. The fact that when I got on a scooter, and I was so confident when I got on my kid's Razor scooter because I had skateboarded.
You were on it for 2 seconds.
30 years previous, yeah.
You put on the brake. And you busted your face in.
This report says skateboarding provides a serious emotional outlet for people who've experienced personal trials in the collapse of long-term relationships, career challenges, parenthood, and substance abuse. I'm not dealing with anything that heavy, but I just think it'd be cool to get back on a board. But I need to figure out a way to do it where there's a lot of like padding around at first until I feel comfortable enough taking it to the street. Because the last thing I need is another trip to the dentist with more fake teeth because I've knocked them out because I don't know what I'm doing.
Why don't you just pretend you're skateboarding?
That's not going to work. Some of a certain age might be wary of skateboarding because skateboard-related injuries account for nearly 70,000 emergency department visits each year, according to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons.
70,000 deaths a day.
No. That's ER visits in a year. First-time skaters make up a third of those who visit the emergency room. I'm not a first-time skater. I used to do it all the time. Common ailments including concussions as well as shoulder, wrist, and ankle injuries. Even Tony Hawk is taking a step back from some of the moves, because the wipeouts have taken a toll on his body.
Well, you're not
going to
be doing any of those sort of moves.
No, I'm not going to be doing any of those moves. But I think it'd be cool. I mean, Tony Hawk did the Ollie 540, and he said that's the last one he'll ever do. I just think if I could, you know, how do you think the skateboarding kids would take it if I showed up at the park on the river and just was riding around? Would they laugh at me the whole time? They would, wouldn't they?
I think they'd throw you in the river.
If you do a longboard, you can do that relatively safely with proper protective equipment. So maybe that's what I need. Like, I'm not going to be doing any trick boarding. I just want to sail around is all. Doctors hesitant to discourage anyone with the zest to shred.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Back when you were skateboarding as a child or as a teen.
Yeah, adolescence. Sure.
Did you wear a helmet?
Never.
Okay, well, there you go.
No.
Are you going to wear a helmet now?
I probably should.
What kind of
I wear the helmet whenever I take my bike out. I could just use that helmet,
see,
right?
See, I think you could just probably get away if you just wore like a do-rag. That would be good enough.
I did wear elbow pads. but then the problem with the elbow pads was because I was an adolescent, I would sweat in them and then they'd get all funky. And it was not unlike my bowling glove where I would just take hits on my blue elbow pads all the time. That's probably, yeah. Good? Better.
There are changes happening to my body.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I'm still going through some changes.
I don't know, man.
I just feel like I spent, yesterday, I was looking on eBay to see if I could find my old board, which is dumb because it wasn't a good board. If I could get a new board and just, you know, Maybe is there a place I could do it indoors during the winter where I feel safer and I'm not going right on the concrete? Do they have like places?
See, I think you should just maybe go home and find a nice soft spot.
Yeah,
like maybe downstairs in your finished basement.
Uh huh.
And just pretend you're skateboarding.
Maybe I skate in the basement for a while.
Can't you find a video game that looks like you're skateboarding?
That's not what I want. I want to reconnect to the freedom of my youth. It's
Can't
not
you
something.
Just put a board on the floor and pretend you're skateboarding.
No, I'm not 4 years old, Darren. Pretend I'm skateboarding. Why don't you just sit in the driver's seat without the keys in the car and pretend that you're driving? What do you mean? I just think it's very interesting that right as I'm going through this time
you
where
think
I'm
someone's telling you to do this.
I think it's the universe sending me a message. Did I need to get a board again? And I need to,
yeah,
I need to shred, man.
But they're talking about middle-aged people, not the infirmed.
You think I'm in? Wanted to share some stuff that's coming in on the text line at 470-23-NACHO. Here's one from the 563. It says, Dave, I'm 48, and I've been skating since 1986. I also collect boards and have a couple hundred decks and completes. I'd be glad to hook you up with a setup. I also run one of the largest skate groups on Facebook named Everything 1980s Skateboarding. You may want to join there as there are thousands of guys to include old pros that interact in the group.
Well, there you go.
Well, then there it is. I think this is it.
And now you're part of a community.
470 says, Dave, you could longboard. Those are more stable. Yeah, I think that's what I'll do. I think that's it. And then someone else here from the 563 just texting the gif of Steve Buscemi from 30 Rock where he says, how do you do, fellow kids? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to look like if I end up going to the skate park. They're going to think I'm a narc, right? Does the skate park offer like adult-only hours? Because that's the thing. I don't want to get beat up by a bunch of 10-year-olds.
And thrown in the river.
That's the last thing I need. They took my board and threw me in the river. That's not a way to reconnect to my youth. Although, in a way...
It kind of is.
It really... It would feel a lot like being a kid again to get bullied.
That takes me back.
Gosh, kids. Thanks.
Number three.
Driving home to your family, not easy, earlier this week on I-95.
No. I hope they had their glove box salamis.
You know, you talk about this glove box salami every winter, and I think people think you're doing a bit. That glove box salami would have saved your life. These people are hurting that were stuck there on I-95 for... I mean, some of them more than 24 hours, right?
Right.
Thousands of people trapped on icy roads on Interstate 95 in Virginia this week around Washington, D.C. They don't really in Virginia. They're good at a lot of things. I know it's for lovers. It's not for people who know how to drive in the snow. There's not a lot of them. They get an inch of snow around Washington, D.C. They shut that town down because they just don't know what they're doing.
Shut it down.
Mm-hmm. So there were these accidents, and the roads are covered with snow, and everyone is just stuck there on I-95 for hours upon hours upon hours, not moving at all. One guy, Andrew Peters, has a story. This guy lives in Richmond, Virginia. He was coming in from San Francisco, didn't really realize what was going on. He got in an Uber after he landed at Dulles International Airport.
Yeah.
And his Uber driver apparently didn't realize what was going on there on I-95 either, because the driver goes to the highway and gets stuck there in the traffic disaster.
By the way, you're continuing to pay for this.
Well, this is where it gets even stranger. He was only on the road in the traffic jam for 9 hours. And believe me, there are hundreds and hundreds of people that would have loved to have only been stuck for 9 hours.
Right.
But when Mr. Peters makes it home after 9 hours, the Uber bill was $200. But then, inexplicably, Uber tacked on an additional $400 in charges. So it's a $600 Uber ride home from the airport.
Uh-huh.
He says, I'm trying to find somebody at Uber who will explain to me why they would charge me the $400 in additional charges. The website says, heavy traffic may cause your trip to take longer than expected. And to compensate your driver for additional time, you may, your fare may change. He is disputing the additional $400 charge. He's saying, look, the $200 for 9 hours, I get it. But $600? He says, I'll probably be banned from Uber, but you know, whatever. Banned from Uber?
Should I go get my glove box salami? Would you like to see it?
I think, honestly, a couple of bottles of water in there and your glove box salami. And also, this is why you make sure you got a full tank of gas in the wintertime, right?
Full tank of gas, maybe a couple blankets, an extra coat.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you have gloves.
Some comic books. Maybe some crossword puzzles. I don't know.
Right, comic books.
You know, I got my cracked magazine there. Do they let Kramer versus Kramer have it in this issue?
True Detective?
Yeah. Vehicles at a standstill, some of them were there for more than 24 hours. And, you know, you want to save gas, so you turn your engine off.
Sure.
It's like 20 degrees.
Yeah.
A lot of people with no food, no water. And then to think of people that thought they were running a quick errand and didn't have medication that they needed with them. I mean, what if you need, like, your insulin and you're just running to the store real quick?
Could have been some bad scenarios. It's moving now, though, right?
Yeah, I think they got it figured out. Rain that fell before the storm washed away all of the chemicals that are used to pre-treat the roads. The governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, saying, first we had rain, which meant we couldn't adequately pre-treat the roads. Then we had slushy snow that fell a lot faster than our snowplows could move it.
No. In this sort of weather right now that we have, the dangerous temps and the snow on the ground, you've got to have your glove box salami. And then when we get to spring and it thaws and that sort of threat is over, you celebrate the fact that you didn't need to use it by using it.
You have a salami party.
You have a salami party. And you just invite everyone. It's for you. Welcome to my salami party. And you just invite everyone. It's a special day, especially for you.
Your salami day is a special day. Why not? Why not invite just everyone?
This is for you.
Yeah, it's.
You're going to get some weird looks when you invite people to your beginning of spring salami party.
Yeah, once the weather turns and you know that you're not really going to be dealing with that situation.
Uh-huh. I spent 3 days trapped in Acworth, Georgia once because there was a snowfall in March.
Spring break, right?
Yeah, we were coming home from spring break.
Didn't you stay like in a gym?
Yeah, we slept in the gym in Acworth, Georgia. And
you would have killed for a salami.
I remember we were able to get bologna from the local Pick and Save, and we made our own bologna sandwiches. Those were a feast.
Not bad.
Yeah, but, you know, that was Georgia, not Virginia. But they were explaining to us, now this is in the mid-90s, but they were explaining to us that the entire state of Georgia had, like, two snowplows. So it was going to be a while before
and
they got...
No salt.
Right. We ended up, they wanted to keep us a third day. We ended up driving south and then moving over and coming up through Alabama.
They attempted to use Mrs. Dash on the road. And that just made things worse.
We were in the middle of Alabama and we were just taking, you know, small county roads.
Boy, just asking for it.
Well, because the Georgia State Police made it very clear that we were not to leave the gym, and we left the gym because after two nights sleeping on a gymnasium floor.
Oh, it was on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
No cot?
No. Why would they have cots?
I don't know.
No, we just slept on the floor there.
Ugh.
It wasn't great. And we left and we went south, and then we, because we had like an all wheel, it was my buddy Dana's Toronado, which according to him smelt like Vietnam. And he would always excuse himself whenever you got in his Toronado. He'd say that it smelled like Vietnam because he'd been picking rock all summer long. So I apologize for the smell of my car. It smells like Vietnam in here.
Had he been to Vietnam?
Yeah, I don't know where he got that from. Does Vietnam smell like rocks that are left in a car? I've never been in country, as they say. And then we were making our way up through Alabama, and we got stuck because there was a trucker who could not make it up a snowy patch of road.
There they just call them slammers.
It was something else. And this trucker, we were trying to negotiate his deal, and then we were trying to like figure out how to navigate traffic, and we would, you know, 10 cars would go and then another one way and 10 cars would go another way. And all this trucker wanted to talk about was how horny he was.
Well, we
because he hadn't seen his wife in 3 days.
We learned the true meaning of BJ and the Bear.
Yeah. It was strange. And I'm thinking, you're horny. I just went on spring break and didn't get so much as a dirty look down there.
Not even a dirty look.
So I don't want to hear about how horny you are. And yeah, he was just telling us, oh, fellas, when I get home, the things I'm going to do to my wife. It's like, this is none of my business.
Roll damn tide.
Why are you telling me this?
War Eagle.
It was my last time in Alabama. And by that, I mean the last time I'll ever be in Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Number
four.
They're bringing back Crystal Pepsi for its 30th anniversary.
Oh, I would have thought it was older than that.
1992.
Really?
Yeah, that's when Crystal Pepsi hit the market. Making a comeback for its 30th anniversary.
I have to imagine this will be a short run as well.
Well, they're bringing it back because people won't shut up about it.
Huh.
And I wonder how these people that are clamoring for it, if they ever tried it.
So the idea was Crystal Pepsi was, it tasted like Pepsi, but was just clear.
Right. The clear cola hit store shelves 30 years ago. They pulled it in 1994. But people online, you know, looking for something to care about, prompting the people at Pepsi to bring back Crystal Pepsi, which gives me hope that maybe if I can get a couple of knuckleheads online to join me, maybe we get that holiday spice Pepsi back in the store shelves.
There you go. But that, well, you've got a long way before the holidays, so
if you
got time.
If you want to try some Crystal Pepsi, you're supposed to post a photo of yourself during the 90s. And use a hashtag show us your 90s or hashtag Pepsi sweepstakes. The vice president of marketing at Pepsi says that they wanted to do something extra special to celebrate and reward the passionate fans who have been clamoring.
It's about the fans.
For the online, the return of Crystal Pepsi. 300 lucky fans will each get 6 bottles of Crystal Pepsi.
Now, I don't know if Larry ever had the Crystal Pepsi.
I don't think he would have put up with it.
No, I think he would have thought it was an abomination.
What the hell is this?
If he knew what that meant.
This is abomination. What the hell? And these people with the brown food coloring are hurting.
Right.
We got to go to the streets like we did in the 70s and drink pop that is brown.
Right. Pop is supposed to be brown.
Drink all the brown Pepsi you want, because these food coloring people are hurting. Well, you don't have long to get your Crystal Pepsi. So it's not going to be on store shelves. You have to do some sort of hashtag nonsense.
Mm.
You can't get it in store shelves.
So you got to jump through hoops.
Yeah. Why would they promote this and do this if they didn't have some plans on bringing it back?
Yeah.
Because all you're really doing, if you're Pepsi, is highlighting and celebrate one of the greatest failures in the history of your brand, right? Doesn't make sense to, you know, Ford's not bringing back the Edsel anytime soon.
Like bringing back a TV show that no one really liked.
Right. The best idea, David Novak, who was the CEO came up with the idea of Crystal Pepsi when he was an executive. And he said that Crystal Pepsi was the best idea he ever had, but it was just the worst executed idea he ever had.
Okay.
Well, you know, you think about it, though, how everyone's drinking all these seltzers.
Yeah.
And everyone's drinking, like, bubbly water, right? I mean, think of all the...
Maybe the time was just wrong.
Right? It was only on the shelves for 2 years, but fans have campaigned for years to bring it back. Crystal Pepsi, I guess they had a limited time run of it in 2016. I don't remember seeing it on store shelves then. Nostalgic items don't always work out in the beverage space because there's just so much room on the store shelves.
The show that you remember, when you see it again, it's like, oh boy. That wasn't that good, was it?
No. Coca-Cola no longer making Tab. That was the first ever diet soda. Huge fan base in the 70s and 80s. And there are people always telling Coca-Cola, hey, bring Tab back. And Coca-Cola's answer is, no, we're good. Thanks.
Remember when I called Lori Loughlin on that Tab commercial?
You did. She was in a Tab commercial and you...
And she lied about it.
She lied about it.
She said I was never in a Tab commercial.
But she clearly was.
Well, yeah. I mean, all you have to do is Google it. Google it.
No. And then I remember at the time thinking, well, Lori Loughlin's not a liar, is she?
Huh?
Little did we know.
She lied to me.
That was exactly. A pattern was established. What would you bring back if you could bring back a...
The Enchirito.
A soda. Are there any discontinued sodas that you would bring back? Because I'll tell you mine. It was incredible. I think it was Canfield's that made it. Hubba Bubba Soda.
So it was like bubblegum soda?
It tasted like bubblegum, but it was a soda.
I haven't had a Nesbitt cream soda in a while.
Nesbitt cream soda.
That's the blue one.
Hubba Bubba me, Hubba Bubba you, Hubba Bubba bubblegum soda is you.
Hubba Bubba, he's so cool.
Bubblegum soda.
They offer.
They got the bubbles. They got the smiles. They got the taste of storm and drive you wild. Bubble, bubble, bubble gum soda. Bubble, bubble, bubble gum soda.
Gosh, I think I know why I like this Hubba Bubba soda. The commercial is just a guy.
It's
a
Naomi.
It's a kid that kind of looks like me walking into a diner, and all the girls are going crazy for him.
Okay. Do they even offer a cream soda anymore?
Who?
Can you just in the stores?
Sure, you can get cream soda.
You can?
Oh, yeah, I see.
You don't have to really look for it?
No. Cream soda is pretty widely available.
Seems to me it was a lot more widely available years ago.
There's an A&W cream soda I see all the time. You got to look more near like the root beer portion of the soda aisle.
But it's not blue.
No, cream soda's clear, isn't it?
Well, no, it's got a little bit of a caramel color.
Yeah.
But Nesbitt used to be blue.
Crystal Pepsi, this was a fad in the 80s. And there were lots of clear sodas. And Crystal Pepsi thought, well, let's get in on this. It not only didn't have any of the color, it was also caffeine-free. Because they thought people would think that was healthier. Caffeine-free soda? What are we doing here?
What's the purpose?
No thanks. Pepsi Blue came out in the early 2000s. That was something that they were going after a Vanilla Coke. So it was Pepsi, but it was blue color. They launched that in 2002, so this would be the 20th anniversary of Pepsi Blue. Pepsi Blue does not have the fan base that Clear Pepsi has because they're not bringing that back anytime soon, right? Hubba Bubba started in 1987. It was discontinued before the 90s. The company that made it was called Novelty Beverage. They got the license rights from Hubba Bubba chewing gum from the Wrigley Corporation. It was sold worldwide, but just never caught on. I'm a big fan of it in my place. there was Tab, and there was also Tab Clear. Again, part of this whole idea of people wanted clear soda, but nobody really wanted clear soda.
What about Pop Shop soda? They used to have a Pop Shop in Milan.
And what was Pop Shop?
They just had a bunch of different type of flavor. I know that they had like a pineapple pop.
Was the idea that you brought the bottles back?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was one in Milan, huh?
They had one in Milan.
Hmm.
I think it was a Canadian company.
Really? Orbitz was a soda where there was like junk floating around in the pop. Do you remember that? It looked like a lava lamp. And there were like chunks of something floating in the soda.
Of what?
It was called Orbitz, and it was a pop that had like chunks of...
Chunks?
Yeah. There were floating lumps of food in the... Like, if you got the cherry-flavored Orbitz, it was like a clear liquid, but then it had like these little lumps of... candy or something. It looked like you were drinking a lava lamp. Orbitz.
Pop Shop had a grape raisin.
I don't hate that idea.
Oh, that's kind of a very mature soda taste.
That's something for when I want to... Does it have caffeine in it? Like, it's like I got a sweet tooth, I want to stay up for a while, and then have a satisfying bowel movement the following morning. Give me that grape raisin. I'm going to have a good movement in the morning.
Uh-huh.
That's...
I got to be me.
Orbitz, released by the Clearly Canadian Beverage Corporation in 1997. It wasn't on store shelves for a year. And then it was discontinued.
What have we done?
Yeah. Marketers called it a texturally enhanced alternative beverage.
Chunky.
The ill-fated fruit drink featured brightly colored balls of gelatin... floating unnervingly inside. Yeah, because they didn't like hang out at the bottom. They were just always floating around.
Were they edible?
A cough syrupy taste, an incoherent ad campaign about the drink's origins.
Incoherent.
The ad campaign talked about the soft drink's origins on planet Orbitz.
Burbico.
Prepare to embark on a tour into the bowels of Orbiterium.
Bowels?
Yeah. Bowels, maybe not something you want to attach to your drink. Orbitz shelved within a year of its debut in 1997. Orbitz. That's a travel website now, but originally it was a soft drink that nobody was interested in. Would you have to bring, like Pop Shop, you would bring the... bottles back and they would refill it. Would
I think so.
Would they clean them out or they would just exchange
for clean bottles? I think they probably just exchange for clean. Yeah, but there was some sort of exchange. That's true.
Yeah. Every once in a while I see like the craft sodas on the shelf and I think maybe I should try that. But then I think that's enough with the craft beverages. Stick with the craft beer. Like the idea of
you already have your lane.
Yeah, right? I don't need to be branching out.
You don't need to be all things to all people.
Although, you know who makes really good local soda is Great Revivalist in Geneseo. Have you ever had any of their pop?
Uh-uh.
It's dynamite. Well, every once in a while, I'll get a sixer of that, and it's good stuff. But it doesn't have chunks of gelatin floating in from the bowels of planet Orbiterium. That was this whole campaign everyone thought was a good idea. An incoherent ad campaign.
That opinion didn't last.
No.
Five.
Number five.
The very first Pepe Le Pew cartoon had its debut in theaters on this date, January 6, 1945.
Oh, he is so suave.
Well, I mean, I guess I don't remember the first episode because this is what a very... 1945.
45.
Think of it. We're still at war with the Germans and the Japanese, and Pepe Le Pew cartoons are making their debut. In the very first episode of Pepe Le Pew, his first appearance, it's a cartoon called Odor Abel Kitty. There's a couple things about this cartoon that I don't remember. Like, when I put in my head what a Pepe Le Pew cartoon is, I feel like it's always the same thing, right? That somehow a cat falls into some paint, and then she's chased by Pepe Le Pew.
The skunk.
The skunk. In the very first Pepe Le Pew, it's a male cat who disguises himself as a skunk to avoid his tormentors. See, in my head, the cat is like a black cat who somehow accidentally gets paint on her back.
Well, they're different episodes, right?
Yeah, but I feel like they're all the same except for the very first one. It's a male cat who keeps getting beat up, so he disguises himself as a skunk.
Uh-huh.
And Pepe Le Pew assumes that he is a she, and he begins amorously pursuing him. It seems to me it would have been very easy for the cat disguised as a skunk to go, hey, buddy, you're barking up the wrong tree here. But that never happens. Eventually, Pepe Le Pew's wife catches him in the act and beats him over the head with an umbrella.
He's got a wife?
Yeah! See, this is another thing I don't remember. His wife's like, knock it off. She starts beating him over the head. And we learn that Pepe Le Pew's real name is Henry, and he's been faking the French accent the entire time.
Ah.
What? So he wasn't even really French? He was just doing that to get chicks
and is that the
behind
only,
the back of his wife?
That's the only episode where she shows up, or does she?
Must be, right? You don't remember any of this happening, do you?
I don't remember him being married, no.
Pepe Le Pew, based on Pepe Le Moko, a character played by Charles Boyer in a 1938 movie, Algiers. So it was a much more topical reference when they were doing Pepe Le Pew.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh, okay.
Originally. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Oh, I get it. Pepe Le Pew, voiced by Mel Blanc from 1945 until 1985. But yeah, in the first cartoon, he's chasing after a dude who, for whatever reason, doesn't let him know. Maybe the cat can't talk, but the skunk can. I don't know. But yeah, we find out Pepe Le Pew's married.
Is the cat and fixed? I mean, how do you not notice certain things?
Well, and cats and skunks don't look anything other than they have fur and four legs.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Right. I gotta find this video of his wife going, knock it off, Henry. Everybody knows that you're not French.
And you're married.
You're married, and
does he have kids?
After so much abuse, being thrown out of a store, shooed from a house, and attacked by a dog, an orange cat decides he's got to do something about it.
An orange skunk?
Uh-huh. Thinking it would make things easier, he disguises himself as a skunk using paint and smelly substances. Although he's able to keep his tormentors at bay, he accidentally attracts the attention of an unwanted real skunk.
Yeah, I think Pepe is looking the other way.
The cat runs from him and hides in the tree, where the skunk then appears out of nowhere.
I think Pepe knows what he's dealing with and doesn't care. He's a little more all-inclusive.
I don't care about pronouns, huh? The cat runs into town, grabs a skunk fur, then runs into a silo. He threatens to jump if the skunk gets any closer. Well, is he using a woman's voice? So the cat is talking and says, if you come any closer, I'll jump. The cat throws the skunk fur from the top of the silo, hoping to deceive the skunk. But as the cat sneaks down the steps, Pepe Le Pew realizes that the fur is just a fur and resumes pursuing the cat. Not at all freaked out that there's a skinned skunk in front of him. He continues to run. The cat accidentally...
Oh, he humps that too. I'm gonna hump this fur. And then I'll be ready for you.
Continuing to run, the cat accidentally brings a dog into the mix. Then he tries on a Bugs Bunny costume to fool Pepe Le Pew. But that disguise does not work. I am how you say a furry too, huh? The skunk pulls the rabbit head off to reveal the cat. Once the cat is tired and worn out, Pepe Le Pew cuddles with him until someone interrupts. It turns out it's the skunk's wife and two children.
Come on, go home.
Standing in disbelief, Pepe claims he was only wiping a cinder from a lady's eye.
That's no lady.
But she, still thinking that he's cheating on her with someone else, begins to beat him on the head with her umbrella. As the cat crawls away to escape and remove all the paint and smell, the cat realizes that he would rather endure all the abuse he was dealing with than to be with a smelly skunk. Wow. So he's... And the whole thing, the French accent, is just a ruse to get chicks. So Pepe Le Pew's not even really... Well,
not just chicks.
Or whatever, yeah.
Anybody. I don't discriminate.
Listen.
A good time is a good time.
Pepe Le Pew is Tindering hard like you know he does. He's got to have it.
I only swipe in one direction.
I don't even care if you're even a person.
Doesn't matter.
I'll take a fur at this point.
Yeah, a pelt is fine.
You would think that would be off-putting.
No.
It's not. He's got to have it.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Well, that's Dave and Darren's
Bing Bong
Top 5 Things podcast. Thanks for downloading it and subscribing. And I guess if you're at this point, you've listened to the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Also want to say thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois, right?
Yeah, they have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Both locations now open 7 days a week, and now you can order items online from both locations through Leafly. You'll find that at the website, ntillinois.com.
Until we get a chance to do it for you again, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reppin' spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it!
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.